I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Ro, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Filipinas podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Filipinas podcast, where we are recording while we are sipping some tea.
We are powered by peppermint tea. With honey.
With honey.
Yes.
So we're 27, all of us, and we're enjoying tea.
Wait, I'm 27.
It doesn't matter. It's 2017.
Birthday is in November.
His birthday is in November. My birthday is in 3 months.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Who's counting? So we're 27 and we are drinking tea on a Wednesday night, which I'm not sure what this says about us, but I've enjoyed tea for the longest time.
I will be drinking beer later after this.
Well, good for you.
Happy for you. Thanks for the invite, sir.
I'm looking forward to getting a good night's sleep after this because Survivor's on at 8 a.m. tomorrow and I gotta catch that live again.
I've got work.
Too bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
So as much as I like to call these the dog days before WrestleMania, they kind of are.
They really are. It is very difficult to be excited that we are getting so lit over tea.
Well, yeah. Maybe this is why I predict for this episode we're going to have a go-home show that's just as lackluster as, as the ones we got on this week of WWE TV.
Which is pretty sad now that I think about it.
Well, but we haven't seen NXT yet.
There is NXT tomorrow.
There is that glimmer of
is it a huge go home for NXT TakeOver?
I'm not so sure myself.
Might be. I mean, they're setting up a lot of things.
Should we check the spoilers now or not?
I'd rather not because I haven't. I've actually been avoiding the spoilers.
But these are 205 Live. I know. I mean, like, there was a big blow off match between Tozawa and Kendrick. But that wasn't the end, obviously. That was the best match. And they just had a really good promo segment between Neville and Austin Aries, which actually, did you see that?
Yeah,
it was pretty good.
But that's also a blow off coming from Raw, leading up to the
Sure. It's just like the promo we actually needed for the cruiserweight division.
Funny story. I actually found myself falling asleep while watching that promo this afternoon.
Why?
I don't know, I've just had a long day.
We all have.
So I was about to fall asleep, and I was like, "Let me put this on pause." Matutulog ako. Right. So I was like, and then nung nakaiga na ako, putang di ako makailip. I'm like, man, now I feel so active now that I've actively decided to sleep. So I get up, go to the gym, come back home, eat dinner, and spend 30 minutes packing for my weekend trip, and I totally forget to catch the Neville promo. Wow. So I'm here not having seen that Neville Aries promo yet, although by the time you hear this, I may already have done so.
The promo from Neville was actually alright. He's killing it with the heel mic work, but it's really the interjection, the interpolation from Austin Aries.
Interpolation?
Yes, the interpolation from Austin Aries.
Very accurate.
That takes it to a whole nother level. Now, I think they were the only championship feud at this point is going into WrestleMania with an elevated sense of purpose.
True.
Yeah, true. I get that. Because like the WWE title picture, Bray and Randy, just really didn't do much on SmackDown this week. For what it was worth, what Randy did at the end of SmackDown Live seemed very meme.
Well, yeah. That has been the case with a lot of these go-home shows for Mania, that we always think that we're going to get something special, but no, we don't.
No, Sayang said that because they on SmackDown tried. No, they are the show that does well with these kind of stories, and you know, they were the ones who had the balls to do this Randy Orton infiltrates the Wyatt family story, and to think it's just a meme segment, as you said, it kind of is disappointing because you think they would try hard.
You know what they actually excelled at this week? They really excelled with the Total Bellas bullshit finale.
Oh. Yes!
That was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. There's something to be said about how All In Creative just went with the whole Ms. Maurice, John Cena,
Balls
and Nikki thing.
Mm.
It's probably because it's a John Cena program, number one.
Mm.
But at the same time, they've also allowed Miz and Maurice to just shine.
Mm.
In a way that we haven't really seen since Miz Ziggler from last year.
Yeah.
Undermine.
I think everyone, as we've seen from Southpaw Regional Wrestling, I think everyone is at their best when they're trying to do their brand of comedy.
Yeah. And
as ridiculous as that might be.
Yeah, and the Miz brand of comedy is just the right amount of snark that I actually enjoyed. I'm at a point where it's 2017, and I'm actively rooting for the Miz as a character and as a wrestler.
Actually, yeah. He is pretty much due for a world championship run. Not run, at least. At the very least, a contendership. That would depend on who the champion is walking out of Mania, which we will talk about in a bit.
Yeah. Now, I know that your pulse on the IWC is... you have a better pulse on the IWC than I do. And I'm talking to Ro, not you.
Oh.
And I'm saying this because I want to ask if Miz is at a point where he's an IWC favorite
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
Was he ever an IWC favorite before? I would argue na hindi.
Depending on what period of time in his career you're asking about... before this, definitely, he was putting out some good work with the Hollywood stuff, the A-lister stuff. He's fine there. Back before this, it just so happened only a few actually believed in him because, you know, they still thought that he was still the same old Miz and everything.
Looking at Eugene.
No, not even. But after this whole, after the Intercontinental Championship run, those series of chases, those feuds, those storylines in his part of the career, and now with his work with Cena and Nikki and Maurice as well, I've seen a lot of people tweet this morning when SmackDown was showing live. I've seen a lot of people tweet that he is by far the best character on SmackDown right now.
But I've got to ask, like, when was that tipping point? Like, when did the IWC collectively realize
that
the Miz is the shit?
When he started doing the A-lister stuff, when he brought Maurice back,
when he was pushing
all the Hollywood stuff, there were people who were starting to catch on, especially after the Talk of Smack thing.
That was the big tipping point.
The Talk of Smack thing was the big tipping point.
With Brian, yes,
right. So. I'm pretty sure this is as good a time as any to ask now. Since WrestleMania is what's widely considered the season finale of WWE, for all intents and purposes, which character, which wrestler are we looking at as, say, a breakout figure? And I'm not counting the people in NXT. Let's count the main roster for what it is, the people who are going to be on WrestleMania. Who's poised to have a breakout 2017, given whatever is laid out on the card?
Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Baron Corbin is the obvious choice here because he has been over-excelling in a position where...
You know what over-excelling? Excelling the man.
Excelling.
Not overly
exceeding,
so.
Exceeding expectations.
I wouldn't say exceeding expectations. I'd say he's matching them. But I get what you're trying to say. He's poised to break through in a scene where it's... enough for him to break through. It's not so deep that he can't break through. That it's not top heavy as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too top heavy. The more you think about it, the more you watch the shows.
All right. So 13 matches on the card. This is a very stacked card. I think this
including
is the most
pre-show.
Matches. Yeah, of course, including pre-show. Because like before they even announced which matches were going to be on the pre-show,
God.
We knew we were already getting 13.
Yeah, let's talk about the pre-show real quick. A lot of people have been complaining about how this or that match is on the pre-show now. How, let's say, the Cruiserweight Championship match is now on the pre-show. The SmackDown Women's Championship match is
on
the pre-show. What else? The Raw Tag Team Championship match? Is it?
No, it's the Battle Royal, the Women's Title match on SmackDown, and the Cruiserweight Title match.
Yeah, this
is across 3 hours of pre-show.
No, it's two hours.
So that's 2 plus 4 hours. You have 6 hours
and
in
change.
One day and change. on Monday morning for us. And to me, it doesn't matter anymore whether this match is on the pre-show or not, because at this point, you have, again, 6 hours of wrestling to fill. And
in
not,
one go.
In one go. So, pre-show isn't even a pre-show anymore. It's really, you know, the time when the show starts. It's the new curtain jerker, for if you will. At this
point, it's call time.
Yeah, it is call time. Yes,
it is call
thank
time.
Thank you. It is call time.
No, I think I'm not saying I disagree with what you said. In fact, I would actually say that you better be happy for these matches on the pre-show because that means they get more time.
You didn't even get more time.
I would argue that they wouldn't have as big of a time constraint.
Oh yeah, were, oh, yeah. That is true. That
as
is
if
true.
It were placed on the main show. If you remember that eight person tag team match from WrestleMania in 2013 was cut. Because they didn't
that,
have time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons why they started doing the pre-shows is because they could avoid so they could avoid things like that from happening again. But that said, again, I don't disagree with what you said, but there are people who say that there's something there's still something wrong about a match being on the pre-show kasi for one, hindi pa puno yung arena. Unlike, say, when the main show actually begins.
Yeah.
The greatest example is Kalisto Ryback from last year.
Oh, Camus, you want to say something?
Yes. It's not a... How do you say this? It's not doing them an injustice. It's not demoting them to... You're just officially the pre-show. It's really that these matches would need the time to breathe.
No, not, more. Not just that. It's not that they need the time to breathe. It's just that the card is so stacked. That there literally is no time for them on the main show. And at this point, yes, the problem Stan is speaking about is because the thing is called the pre-show, the kickoff. And at this point, I think the majority of the wrestling of the WWE fan base has to start realizing that at this point, at least for WrestleMania's case, that is just a label that they had to go with because it's I don't know, it's established already in their PPV format, right? At this point, you're better off. It might have been also something they did to get people to come in as early as you can, like
fill it up before.
Yeah, fill it up before even the main show starts. Like you want to see these matches start going to the stadium really early and lining up before even the advertised main show
begins.
Call time.
Yeah,
call,
yeah.
Time. Call time. It is call time. That is what it is. It's,
yeah, I mean if you're in
you
Florida.
Have to be there. You have to be there at this time so that. By the time the pre-show, you know, right? Once they run through the entire card on the pre-show, and then they get to that point where, and we have our first match.
Yeah,
is that?
The point is, if say you're going to be in Florida for WrestleMania weekend, and you're going to be wearing your favorite Alexa Bliss shirt, and you want to see what Alexa is going to come out wearing, then you better damn sure be there by 5 p.m. Eastern time. Or else, you're gonna come in at 7 and you'll be like, oh, I just missed it. So, sayang lang yung pinunta mo doon.
Bale, bottom line is, you know, we really have to stop thinking about the beginning of the show as the pre-show. Yes, it's called the kickoff. Yes, it's before the advertised main card. But at this point, we have to understand that there are so many things. The roster is way too stacked. There are two brands, remember this.
There are too many people.
There are 3 hours on Raw. There's 2 hours of SmackDown, 1 hour in 205 Live. You have to realize that NXT is not in WrestleMania. Shut up, Camus. Now, thank you for derailing my train of thought.
3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour.
With all of this content and WWE programming, it really is, understandable and reasonable that everyone is getting a WrestleMania payday. So it's time to stop thinking of this as merely a pre-show. Guys who are not watching on, live at, in Orlando, you have the power to tune in early. And you're going to have to if you want to see the matches you want to see, like as Stan mentioned earlier.
Yeah, for one thing, the pre-show is actually for free. You can stream it live on Facebook. You can stream it live on YouTube. It's on the network if you have a network subscription.
If you have the network subscription, you don't even have to wake up early.
Yeah, because you can watch
it on
demand.
You can watch it on delay.
Right.
Yeah, just recluse
yourself from social media.
That's true. Be behind while people are talking about the whole thing.
And the other point I wanted to bring up is again, you can take this for what it's worth, but Fox actually considered airing the pre-show. I've been getting a lot of questions on both my Facebook page and on Twitter from people who've been wondering if Fox is going to show the WrestleMania pre-show. And I think, in contrast to what Rose said about how there are people bitching about the pre-show being what it is, it's nice to know that there are Pinoy fans who are actually concerned about whether or not they get to see the pre-show to begin with. So that's a good thing. I think that's a great thing. But the reality is, Fox won't be airing the pre-show for business reasons. Mm. One being...
It's too long.
Yeah, it's way too long. WrestleMania will be 6 hours. And historically, and this is an insight on the TV business that I didn't learn until recently. Historically, if a show or a telecast is long, it's bound to rate less.
And that explains Raw a lot, by the way. Yes,
because people tune in and out. Right? And people's attention spans are always dwindling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
especially when the show is bad, right?
Yes, like last year's WrestleMania. So it's harder to sell to advertisers. And it gives the network less of an incentive to actually air the whole thing.
Yep.
So that's one of the reasons. That's
TV
really
network, the TV network.
Yes. That's really one of the main reasons why Fox won't be airing the pre-show. But I will tell you that they considered it, and that I had a conversation with them about it.
I heard you.
Iklaro lang natin. Which Fox is showing the show? So, Fox pa rin. Our Fox.
No. Fox Sports is airing WrestleMania at 7 a.m. That's okay. Live.
So that's... All right.
So it will start with whatever match is on the main card first.
Yep.
And then it will end at whatever time they decide to end the main event. because it's their own network.
It's
there will be a primetime telecast at 9:50 p.m. on the same day on Fox Sports as well.
It's probably like till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It's not like anything important showing at 2 a.m. on Fox anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. So there. I guess for your peace of mind, as a hardcore fan who's listening to this podcast and who really wants to see every match on the pre-show, guys, just go to Facebook Live or YouTube.
Oh.
That's your best bet.
Or Skinny Mikes,
yeah, because we are having that viewing party on Monday. And I know the advertised time is 6 a.m., but if you want to show up at 5 a.m. to get your seat early, by all means, go.
We won't be there.
Anong oras tayo pupunta?
Gigising ako ng 5.
Yeah,
I mean, historically, pag viewing parties, I would wake up at 5.
What a rough one. Yeah, but then the Holy Week after. The week after.
Yeah, so just show up power early
through,
at Skinny Mikes.
Guys.
Yeah.
For wrestling.
This only happens once a year. Right?
Yes.
Now that we've got that all out of the window, let's go through our 13-match card.
Predictions!
Yes. So let's start with the 4th annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which I will maintain still isn't very significant just because of the history that they've built up with it in the last 3 years. Consider the fact that none of the three winners have really had a significant push after having won the Battle Royal.
Nope, you're
maybe
wrong.
Maybe except Corbin.
You are wrong, Corbin.
Only except Baron Corbin.
Failed with Cesaro. They didn't do much with Big Show.
I wouldn't say that they failed with Cesaro.
Late lang sa kanya.
Yeah, it was late, and they just didn't handle him well.
Not as a result of the armbar win.
Whereas in Big Show was totally useless. Like, he didn't even have to win it that year.
Yeah.
I think I can still argue that Miz Dow should have won it that year.
And yes, absolutely. Yes. I agree with that.
And he could have still used that to propel himself. Instead, now he's running away in TNA.
Yep.
So, Baron Corbin's probably as close as you can get to saying that, the Andre Battle Royal win actually propels your career. Now, it's funny that people are also railing on the match. Parang, putana, the Battle Royal isn't really worth it because it's going to be on the pre-show again. But again, consider this. In the three iterations of the Battle Royal, it's only been on the pre-show once, and that was the Big Show win from 2015.
Yeah.
So now let's look at this lineup. You have basically the entire tag team division on SmackDown, plus Mojo, Apollo, and Kalisto, and Dolph, plus all of the Raw superstars without any WrestleMania storylines.
I'm actually pretty happy about this year's armbar than from the last 3 years, because for once, thanks to the amount of wrestlers on each brand, it's gonna be a way more star-studded event affair because the past few years was a bunch of mid-carders and a bunch of jobbers, and now you
plus one NXT guy.
Yeah, And then now you have guys like what? You have guys like Finn. You have guys like Sammy. Maybe Samoa Joe. You know?
Actually, Finn isn't even confirmed yet. He's a maybe at this point.
But, you know, like guys like Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, right? Guys who would normally have a storyline of some sort. Like, you know.
A good match. A pretty show-worthy match.
Yeah. So, Battle Royal. Is there going to be a celebrity this year? One. And two, will there be an NXT superstar participating this year?
It's not Shaq.
I don't think there's an NXT guy to spare at all.
None of the British guys?
Yeah, no one close to coming up, eh?
Not even Tai?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say Tai.
I actually might think that maybe Pete Dunne even, if they could put it.
No, probably Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate
might be the closest one to make it into the Battle Royal.
Eto tanong, why aren't the cruiserweights involved here?
I don't know.
This is how ostracized they are. They only get two guys.
I think they're doing access.
On the WrestleMania.
They're doing access.
Are they? Okay.
They're doing access alongside NXT.
So you know you pay day nila. So you can only have so many people even if you're sticking everyone in this match, right?
Yeah, but like the VOD villains, really? Over the cruiserweights?
Well, yeah. The VOD villains pull their weight on the live shows.
That's true.
Which is the day-to-day.
Right.
It's something. If Los Matadores could get a WrestleMania payday 2 years ago for doing almost absolutely nothing up until WrestleMania season hit, I don't know. You tell me.
All right, so who are we predicting?
You would rather have the cruiserweights on the armbar than being happy with them doing much more meaningful matches on Access.
Well, it's not like I'll get to watch Access.
Well, it's on the network.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, it's not.
Ooh,
I'm pretty sure they're in a
point me to an Access episode or show on.
Because
I've never seen one. I spend more time on the network than you guys.
No, it came out on NXT after. Yung NXT at Access.
Oh yeah, I remember that from last year.
Yeah,
the one with the Itami stuff, the GTS.
And what's her name? Aaliyah's debut.
Yeah, okay.
There was that.
Fine. Looking at this field, I think the only one I can actually get behind, or the only ones I can actually get behind, are Finn,
Sammy.
Yeah, maybe Sammy. I was actually thinking of Braun, yeah.
Braun is three.
It's Braun to lose, for sure.
Just like the Rumble.
No, the Rumble wasn't Braun to lose.
It could have been his coming out party.
Yeah, could have. Well, Joe's not on the list, but I would be fine with...
Joe winning it?
Yeah, I would be fine with Joe winning it, but I would still pick Finn. Just because...
He could use it.
Not necessarily. Like, I think whether or not he actually wins it, he will remain on top of the card or in the main event scene on Raw. It's just that I think it will be really impactful to use that as the platform for the Finn return.
Raw after Mania. That's the other option there.
He's right. Yeah.
That's a great point.
That's one of those. May bala ka na, sasayangan mo ba dyan on the armbar, or would you save him for the big hype on the Raw after, where anything is possible?
That is a great point. So I'm willing to make the compromise that if Finn doesn't appear in the armbar, he definitely has to be at Raw after Mania.
Oh yes.
So I can live with that. So that said, I probably have to put my money on either Sammy or Braun.
It depends. Okay, if Finn isn't in this thing, yeah, I would agree with you. But if he is, then
Sammy Finn, Braun, last three, anyone wins, we're happy.
Maybe even Samoa Joe, for sure.
Or Joe.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you put Joe in this match though? Like, if you were Triple H, then.
Unless he has something planned for Joe in...
Yeah, Joe's probably going to run in this unsanctioned match.
Even then, why wouldn't you put Joe in a battle royal where he can destroy?
To keep him fresh.
No.
You can keep him fresh for, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah. there's so much time between things, and that ramp is so long. It's just, Jesus. Seriously, back just very quickly on the ramp.
Oh. It really is coming from upper box, though.
I know. If there is no mechanism that gets them from the top,
maybe
to the bottom,
is, you know, a roller coaster car. That actually makes sense.
That's what I thought about. That okay, unless this thing has a slip and slide or a cart, sayang, man. Hey, Florida and slip and slides.
I know. Absolutely.
All right. Who are you putting your money on, Camus?
Sammy. All
right.
Easy.
Moving on. Six-pack challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship. So
six-pack,
they finally announced
confirmed.
It.
Six-pack,
yes. Huh? Confirmed.
So it's no longer everyone who's available.
Yeah, so I guess that pretty much throws my Oscar prediction out the window.
Told you.
Sayang.
So it's Alexa versus Becky versus Natty versus Mickey versus Carmella versus Naomi.
The returning Naomi.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think Naomi wins this for the hometown pop.
Yes.
Plus, she's the champion who never lost her title, so...
It's an easy pick. Or
no, but I really do think it's Becky's to win.
Yeah, that's right. It's like it's that or Becky.
unless you go for the casual, you know, the old school fan pop, and you know have Mickey James win it,
which is not outside the realm of possibility considering
never
the
is.
Way that. Six pack challenges are hard to call.
All right, so you guys are Becky. I'd go for Naomi. All right.
Okay.
Cruiserweight Championship match. I think we can all unanimously agree that Austin Aries will take this from Neville.
Hey, dog.
Right? Yes.
But I don't think this will be the end of the feud.
Oh, no,
that's the thing. I think this extends a little further out. But A Dub, considering the body of work that he's put in, he deserves this one.
Yeah, it's an.
He's earned it.
We need a double to win this for the cruiserweight division. Neville, as I said, Neville is the guy who redefined or rebuilt the division on his back for the past few months. But A-Dub is going to be the guy who puts it on the map. Just because of how powerful he is. If you, again, watch the promo from this week's 205 Live.
I'm not sure if you guys talked about this while I was away, pero I've been really observing Austin Aries, the character, and comparing him to when he first appeared on NXT. Because he arrives on NXT with little fanfare, except for the fact that he's an indie favorite, an indie darling. And for me, someone who's never seen his work before, I didn't really find a reason to care about him until he turned heel. When he turned heel, that's when I was like, okay, now he has a personality, now he has a character. Gets injured, comes back on 205 Live, gets himself over as a commentator with personality.
And bananas.
And now that he's come out and attacked Neville, I can get behind him as a babyface because he's built such a great character for himself during the time that he was on the shelf. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I love how he was able to make the most out of
nothing,
but he was able to make the most out of the situation he was in post-injury, as opposed to just showing up on NXT and, you know, expecting, say, a hero's welcome and that just falling flat on his face.
I don't think anyone was expecting... Well, yeah, it's okay. No, you were expecting some fanfare, but not a hero's welcome.
Yeah. He's not beloved the way that guys like Sammy or KO are down there.
Or Nakamura.
At that. I mean, yes, he is ex-ROH World Champion, but...
Ex-TNA World Champion.
Ex-TNA World Champion as well. But the guy just has so much potential left. He has so much to accomplish in WWE, and I think this is his... It's his coming out party. It has to be.
So, one last question on Aries before we move on. Does it shortchange him that he can't interact with the heavyweights because he's pigeonholed in the cruiserweight division? Because we've kind of come to accept this with the likes of TJP and Jack Gallagher and all that, but when you have a talent like Aries, who also has the potential to be that transcendental star, is it fair to him that he's pigeonholed like this?
I think eventually the cream rises to the top, and for now it's going to be like, oh, Austin Aries is playing the cruiserweight division now. But eventually I think that he's going to be so good that there's no way they can't have him, you know, help out the rest of the show.
Because Raw needs help.
Yeah, Raw needs a lot of help.
All right, so let's move on. Speaking of Raw, triple threat ladder match for the Raw Tag Team Championships. I'm not sure what they're trying to go for here. Now, biglang lang at the last minute they make it a ladder match. Are they trying to recreate the magic of ENC, the Hardys, and the Dudleys here?
I think they just wanted to make a good match, you know, a better match with a new stipulation that that is, you know, not just safe and tame. It's just, I guess it's their last ditch effort to make it more exciting,
or to make you care about it,
or to make it more delightful.
So
if that materializes.
Mm-hmm. So you've got the champions in Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
And what possibility of?
No, I don't think the Hardys.
No, the Hardys are not going to join this match.
Yeah,
I think Okay, quick aside on the Hardys. I think they are a Raw or SmackDown after Mania kind of deal.
Okay, so if they are an after Mania kind of deal, would you put them on Raw or on SmackDown?
SmackDown. SmackDown needs help.
SmackDown is what you want to happen, but where do you think they will go?
Raw. SmackDown.
Because I think they'll go
money
to Raw.
Money is on Raw. Money is on Raw.
Wait, no. Remember, we SmackDown is the show that did the whole Randy Orton arson and, you know, Bray Wyatt.
No, he has a point with booking-wise. Booking-wise, they belong on SmackDown.
Yeah, but mapupulsahan by Vince.
Huh?
Mapupulsahan by Vince. That's the
question. But Vince also is in charge of SmackDown. He knows you can't do the mystical shit on Raw. Now, at this point.
Well, they are trying with The Undertaker.
But it's The Undertaker. No, it's not so much...
He transcends brands.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that is also true. But, you know, I think at this point they're doing The Undertaker stuff because... not because they're just keeping up with... With everyone else. With the traditional trappings of his gimmick, but I misphrased that. I think they're just going with it now on Raw because, you know, it's The Undertaker and that's what he does, you know. But for otherworldly shit that you need a lot of effort and hard work to make it work, SmackDown is the place to go. Fine. Unless
I really think though someone's gonna fuck up and the Hardys will end up on Raw.
Yes.
Which sends Jeff back on his tailspin.
Jesus, yeah.
Let's not go there.
I really think that's what'll happen. Because this is wrestling.
But then that means they drop the titles to the Hardys at Supercard of Honor. That would be nice. Oh my god, yes, there's still Supercard of Honor to watch.
Moving on, Carlos. Wow. So who are we going to call here? Because I think the club could use a win just so they have that statement win.
I think this is an Enzo and Cass night.
Yeah.
Even if only for one night, like the Zack Ryder deal.
Oh yeah, I could live with that. Okay lang sa akin yan.
Only for them to lose the
next
night. Just
because they're jabronis.
Sure.
Yeah. Give it.
Fine. I'll do it. I can
live with that.
All right. Next.
But I want to see the implosion of Cesaro Sheamus at this.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening.
I think
not at Mania. Not at Mania.
I think it will.
Or maybe they plant the seeds at Mania. But
they've always been planting seeds. How big is this plant?
No, wait. they have not been planting the seeds over the last few weeks. They've been on a united front.
My friends don't say that.
Yes, clearly you guys haven't been paying attention.
Fuck Raw.
Again,
we go through the
you guys
highlights.
Have not been paying attention.
We go through the highlights.
This is what I'm here for.
Fuck Raw.
Next up,
Intercast.
Intercontinental title match, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin.
Yes.
Yeah. This week on the sign.
No, last week. But.
Yeah, I remember.
So this is
Corbin. What's his tip?
Voila. It's a traditional match.
That sucks.
Why?
Because they've been brawling up and down the arena.
Dean Ambrose put a fucking forklift over.
Yes, he blew up a table. Yeah, but before he landed on the table.
No DQ last minute.
False count anywhere in Asane.
I doubt it.
False count anywhere on the roller coaster.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not?
That would have been great.
Actually, no. You know, Dean has, well, history of big spots.
But you know what? I would give this to Dean just because I think they did him dirty last year with the Brock thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Dean.
No,
here.
No, I'm gonna go with Baron here because he's been a lame sitting duck champion. Over the past
while.
since Elimination Chamber,
which was Jan,
Feb, so he was in the Elimination Chamber, right? So there was no time really to for him to defend a championship, and He hasn't been really defending it against anyone since then. Only focused on Corbin. So I'd rather we give it to Corbin and we revitalize the whole scene for the meantime. So that opens up a lot of other different matchups. Like, you know, go back to the Kalisto or the Apollo Crews thing again. Make some decent mid-card TV.
All right, so yeah, split tie on this one. U.S. title match. I think this is pretty obvious. KO's taking the U.S. title U.S. title only because Jericho's, you know, that Jericho's leaving by May.
Yes.
Yeah. And but, they did do him dirty.
Yes.
With the Goldberg thing. Yeah. It should have been a consolation. You're getting squashed by Goldberg.
But you're going to have match of the night with Jericho.
I don't even think that they'll get match of the night straight up.
Yeah, they won't get that.
They can. They have the...
No, it depends on whether they have minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually think na mas prime contender yung Neville Aries as match of the night.
Low key.
Although with all the smarks calling for it, I don't think it's gonna be as low key as you say.
No, it depends on sa oras na.
Yeah, but that's on the kickoff. 15, they'll have less of a restriction.
If they get
as
15,
I said.
Yeah, ganda na.
They would not get 15. Seriously.
On the pre-show.
Yeah, Ryback and Kalisto got like 8 minutes last year.
Maybe 10, 12 max. Tops. With entrances.
With entrances. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Anyway, moving on. Fatal 4-way elimination match for the Raw Women's Championship.
Sasha.
They did her dirty last year.
Yeah, Sasha.
Daming bowing did you dirty last year.
Yeah, but that's us though. Who's to say that they won't do them dirty again?
So my prediction in the column I'm about to finish by tomorrow is that I'm going with Charlotte. Only because this is Raw booking that we're trying to call here.
Oh, God, man.
Even though I know that the logical thing is to put it on Sasha and to give her that WrestleMania moment.
Okay,
and,
wait, this is an elimination match. Who are your final two?
Charlotte and Sasha. That's your final two.
Actually, yeah.
Because that's
there's no other final to it.
Yeah, because for one, that's the blow off of the Charlotte Sasha feud that they've been building up for the last year.
Yes.
So they pretty much shot themselves in the foot by having Charlotte and Sasha have that match. Now, if one wins, then the loser can't ever face challenge the winner again. Okay. Right? So this is their way of making up for it and booking everyone else into the clusterfuck that we already have. So, ito yung pambawi nila.
Na hindi talaga pambawi.
Well, no. Yun yung pambawi nila because, again, they shot themselves in the foot by booking
the division that way. But they will, probably.
I'm pretty sure they will. It's gonna be Charlotte and Sasha in the end.
Could be Sasha Bailey.
Sasha Bailey and then sets up a turn.
To set up a turn.
Yes. Yeah.
To move into the next feud.
Okay lang. Pero feeling ko pa rin it's Charlotte Sasha. In the end.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Wait. So I picked Charlotte. Ro picked Sasha. Who are you picking?
Sasha.
Oh, not Bailey.
Wow. I love her. But then I really see that no, there is no way that she retains in this situation.
Okay.
It's too hard to ask.
All right. Next up, Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles in a singles match. AJ. I don't know if you guys saw yung promo on
the
SmackDown.
The contract signing.
I love how AJ pretty much set the table here by saying that, Shane, you gotta remember, this is not a Hell in a Cell match. This is not false count anywhere. You can't do anything silly because it's a traditional singles match. This is my domain, blah, blah, blah.
Which is true.
Yeah, I actually like how AJ...
How self-aware was that?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. He's so self-conscious.
No, AJ is. Shane isn't. Because how will 47-year-old Shane fare?
Oh, what?
In a singles match.
He doesn't know how to wrestle without any special stiffs, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember.
Oh, man, no. When
I can't
was the last straight up match that they had?
Shane McMahon singles match.
When was the last straight up singles match, no hardcore stipulation that he's had?
I don't remember.
Lance, check it.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Lance, now is your time.
I don't think we care at this point.
Yeah. So, pretty sure AJ wins here, just because in Vince's eyes.
I'm pretty sure that the last Shane match was, like, against Vince. No,
he was last active 2009, right?
Yeah, so it's probably against Vince.
No, I'm pretty sure they were on the same side then.
DX, anyway.
No.
Yeah, that was
HBK,
the last DX run.
HBK versus, I know, but that was a handicap.
God.
God.
No, yes. That was 06.
That was 06.
That was 06?
Okay. That was Backlash 06.
Yes.
God.
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 So going back. I think we all have a right to be up in arms if AJ doesn't win here.
Oh no man. AJ deserves so much better.
Oh, here's a big question though. Since AJ is battling Shane McMahon, the Commissioner of SmackDown, on this show, does it follow that whatever happens, whoever wins, AJ's going to Raw after this?
I think.
Because
it does.
You fucked with the SmackDown Commissioner.
You're not playing by the rules anymore.
No, you know what? I'm gonna bet against that and say that nothing's really gonna happen because the last time Shane McMahon had a WrestleMania match,
That's nothing
of consequence happened afterwards.
That's true.
That is actually
true. We forget that he was supposed to never see. Yeah, Undertaker.
In effect, this establishes that every Shane McMahon match is a reminder that status quo will remain the same.
That sucks.
So much balls. Wow.
Let this be a reminder.
Wow, fuck
that
you,
Vince
Raw.
So loved the wrestling world that he sent his only begotten son to face the phenomenal one.
God,
at Iba WrestleMania.
Behind this Triple H, the begotten son.
No,
because
he did not spring forth from Vince's loins.
He is the bastard redhead son that he wished he could have had.
Okay. Speaking of Triple H, non-sanction match, Seth Rollins versus Triple H. Pretty sure Seth's going to win this, but the bigger question at play is, how healthy is Seth Rollins really?
I think he's cleared. I think he's fine, that the re-aggravation was for storyline purposes. That's about it. I don't think... He looks fine. He looks fine to all things considered.
I'm still scared. Like, I think the reason why they even went this route is so Seth doesn't have to do a lot of the wrestling bumps and instead just rely on weapons.
Actually, that makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah.
It's a very Shane thing, actually.
But you know that Triple H is going to target the knee.
Yeah.
Even then. Yeah. Even with protected shots, it's still a risk he's taking on.
Ugh.
This is the match that I'm most scared about. Because
yes.
If they fuck up, future is really fucked up.
But I'm sure in a moment that since it wasn't as bad as they were afraid it was.
Yeah.
Pretty much at this point they have some medical clearance to go ahead with this match, even if it's, you know, still pretty dangerous and risky.
And that from the doctor who appeared on Raw.
Huh?
No, from real doctors. From real doctors.
Hey, he is a real doctor, Camus.
See you.
The guy who appeared on Raw, the PT. Forget his name, but
so
the PT.
Basta siya.
Baka naman siya yung PT
nila.
Dami
na yung PT. Yeah. So it wasn't Scorpio Sky playing a character.
Anyway.
Dr. Shelby.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Alright, so we're down to the last three. Mixed tag match. John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse. Does John Cena propose to Nikki at the end of this match?
Alright. Yes. Remember that call of you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. All of you are predicting that that's gonna happen, but who's to say that Miz is not wrong when that happens? John Cena is doing that to strengthen the Cena brand. Nikki, I love you.
Nikki, you look amazing.
Smack that ass.
I love those house rules. Like, the house rules parody is the best part. And the invisible cue card guy.
Did you really watch Total Bellas?
I did, yeah.
God damn you.
Why not? I watched like the first episode and I'm planning to watch like the other five probably no, at the airport lounge.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I think there's no other way to go but a Cena Nikki win. So I think the real question is, will Cena propose? And
I think we're all decided that Cena is proposing. I just really want to know if you think that this is part of the whole gimmick.
No, I want you to talk about the subtext because you brought this up in the Fox column. So I want you to lay this out here.
What do you mean? Oh, for those who don't know.
Yes.
All right, since Miz was the guy, Miz accused Cena of faking his love. Or not them of faking, but
yeah, faking his love for Nikki.
Can we really call it faking?
Yeah, maybe, maybe that's actually love. Well, if you need a cue card to say I love you to your girl, I'm pretty sure that your relationship is fake.
No, maybe it just means you're emotionally stunted, you know? He did cheat on
Nikki. Like, you know, like Sheldon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Cena did cheat on his girlfriend at the time.
They were wife.
Wife in the band?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No, they had her divorced.
Like I say, Orton was the guy who got divorced.
Yeah, he also got a divorce.
All right. Anyway.
That's why he doesn't want to get married.
Anyway, Miz is accusing John Cena of at least being a robotic lover and, you know, actor.
Wink,
wink. No, lover as in lover. Talaga, as in partner. Okay. And the whole Nikki Bella thing is an act. Because he hasn't proposed yet, right?
And they're on a reality TV show.
So, what I thought when I saw that everyone was predicting that Cena would propose to Nikki, finally, at such a big stage, diba? Why would you do that if it was real? To me. But it sounds like, especially in the context of pro wrestling, in the background of pro wrestling, in that particular environment, to do that in front of a ring at WrestleMania, how does that not scream act? Diba?
Ratings.
Yeah, exactly. How does
that... How does that not scream PR stunt?
Yeah, exactly.
There, what it is.
Yes, exactly. How does that not scream, you know, Cena brand?
So in the end, if Cena actually does this,
Miz is right.
Is right.
Regardless of whether it's sincere or not.
Yeah. So win or lose, Miz still wins in the end. Like, he wins in the feud. He wins in real life.
Yeah.
Miz is the real hero here, guys.
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Miz is your wrestling lord and savior.
The only way that they can say this, and you can credit me later, you can send my check in the mail. The only way they can say this is if he does it backstage and then, you know, don't release the press release. Oh, I'm giving you the freebie here. I'm throwing you the bone. They don't release it at all until, like, the next day. Right, or on or not even on SmackDown.
That's close to impossible with the amount of media that is backstage.
No way.
You know what?
They do it backstage.
They announce it the day after, or you know, a day after.
They do it in private, and then it's for the 24-hour.
Yeah, WWE 24.
Yeah, exactly. 24. Yes.
So next year they have something to sell a DVD.
Yeah,
Cena brand.
I was actually getting there.
Cena brand.
I was just saying that it should not happen at all in front of live on live television.
Nikki's retiring after this, isn't
yes.
she?
Yes.
She is now. This is her farewell match.
Yeah, her neck is too fucked up.
And she's not gonna go out on her back.
No.
You don't know that.
I doubt.
Because we're predicting that Cena's gonna win because it's gonna be a feel good moment.
Oh no. So they lose and then it's a Randy Savage, Miss Elizabeth moment. No, I'm just exploring possibilities here, sir.
Okay.
I still think Cena and Nikki win. I mean, like, Brie got a win last year in her farewell, so.
Okay.
Last three matches, Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. Pretty sure Roman's winning this one.
Yeah.
So,
but the question is the Undertaker done?
Do we talk about what Triple H said?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
The stupidest.
Okay, did you hear this firsthand? Because I did.
No,
Cheap Heat.
Ah, it's a Cheap Heat.
Yeah, so Rosenberg's been getting sit-downs with a lot of WWE personalities lately. Except WrestleMania season. So he had Trips last week.
Oh, and he's on the network.
Yeah. He had Steph nitong weekend, and then he has The New Day this week. And he'll have Radio Row during the weekend. So the question came about on Cheap Heat directly about Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Like, Rosenberg actually went at it how do they reconcile the fact that they're trying to push Roman Reigns as the guy, and yet there's so much vitriol whenever he comes out? And then you have the infamous answer from Triple H, which
it's typical PR spin doctor-ish.
Yeah. It's not all that different from the Martin Andanars of the world and the Sean Spicers of the world,
Kellyanne Conways of the world.
No. Okay. It's not that bad. Wrestling has been doing this for the longest time, longer than any of the, you know, aforementioned political presidential spokesmen have been doing it. Because you got to protect the business after all.
Yes.
So that's fine. It's not lump them in there, you know.
Yep.
For one thing, I will defend Triple H saying that because I know by inference that he's not really like that. Because if he were, as I told Ryan Sangalia on SGP, guys like Cien Almas and, you know, Bo Dallas back in his NXT days, they wouldn't have been turned at all if Triple H felt this way. Say, if he really felt this way, then he would apply that same logic to Cien, right? Who was getting boos before he turned heel some time ago. So, to me, it's just something that he has to say in order for him to keep doing what he has to, what he wants to do on the main show, like, you know, push for the cruiserweights and have really great NXT matches, NXT shows.
Basically, he's saying what he's saying for political will.
Oh no, man. for political, you know,
footing.
Yeah, for political footing. Yes, that's a good, better way to phrase it. Yes, you're right. It's wrong in such a way that it's not what's really happening out there when you present Roman Reigns and you're saying that you're not actually presenting him as a babyface. Because for one, you're not actually presenting him otherwise as well.
Yeah, you look at the Roman Reigns character, he's a dick.
Straight up, I
don't think at this point there's anything that can save us from saying that he's a dick. Like, he really is a dick. From the smug way he comes out, the way he carries himself, the way he deals with other people, he really is a dick. And we were there when they were here in Manila and they performed. And when he came out, it was still predominantly booze.
Mm.
Like, you can't say it was a 50-50 split the way that, say, Cena. A John Cena appearance with Garner.
And then why don't the announcers who set the tone for each character, who set the agenda for how each character should be perceived, why don't the announcers, you know, start hyping Roman Reigns as someone who's not entirely a good guy? They don't do that, diba? They always push him as, you know, the underdog, or not even the underdog, just the conquering hero. Hero is a key word here. They say, if you really wanted to present him as someone who was, I don't know, somewhere close to an anti-hero, you would at least start saying, oh, there seems to be a change in Roman Reigns' attitude. Yeah, it doesn't come off that way. And for you to say that, obviously, is a blatant insult to our intelligence.
Yeah, it's completely ignoring the fact that he's doing what he's doing, the way he's doing it.
Hmm.
Is this the Undertaker's last match, though?
Could be. Should be.
Yeah, I think it should be. I believe the rumors...
No, his last Mania match...
I believe the rumors that say that Undertaker is in a lot of pain right now. I don't believe that to be false, because he is old and he has been taking a lot of weird bumps in his advanced age.
At the Rumble.
Yeah. Buti pa si Greg Popovich. Like, he DNPs his players because they're old. And he actually writes this down on the box score.
Old?
DNP old. Yeah, he did that to Robert Horry and Tim Duncan.
Yeah, but that's what they do for Taker. Technically,
yeah. 90% of, yeah, 90%
he's
of
literally
the time he's DNP'd.
Old. And they bring him up for the playoffs.
During the playoff run.
Yeah. And even at that point, he's just there for appearances, for media appearances. He's still DNP'ing.
Wait. He is T-Mac in his last 2 years.
No, I would... Nah. You know what? I just have to say this, because if you watch Raw this week, it became more apparent than ever just how fat Taker looks now.
Oh, man.
And I think that's what saddens me the most about the impending retirement.
To be fair, fat?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I thought he was, you know, working out heavily.
No, he looked bloated on Raw. You know the expression Superman in a fat suit?
Yeah.
That was the Undertaker this week. Like, when I looked at him, that's when his humanity just took precedence.
Well, to be fair,
and came over him.
To be fair, you know, he has stopped wrestling for the most part.
Yeah, and he's 51, 52. I get it. It's just that there are people who's... there's people or characters named Mystique Nila should never die. And I would argue that it should have been that way with The Undertaker. But I think with the last few years and how they've handled him, it really just killed it. Like, it jumped the shark.
It should have just stopped at the Brock thing.
Yeah, I would agree that. But they had him retire after 30. That was it. it would have been the perfect way to end the Undertaker's career, and yet
here we are.
No, okay, I get it now.
Okay,
if the Undertaker was Michael Jordan, the last 3 years were the Wizards years.
Shit. The heart, it's hard to watch, but there are moments of brilliance.
No, it's just hard to watch, and if I were to look at his career in a vacuum, I would take that out.
Okay. Mm.
Because I am in the camp that says that, you know what, if you were to look at Michael Jordan's career, fuck the Wizards years.
Yeah,
in the same way that I can look at Taker's career and go, fuck the post-Brock Lesnar lost years.
Pwede naman.
But I was just going to say, Jordan had a few good games.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. He never made the playoffs. So
it wasn't a championship team.
Yeah. Like, the Wizards were basically Jordan and a bunch of jabronis.
Oh.
And his old coach from the 80s. That was it.
Yeah, but Wizards and Panini.
Because he had an ownership stake.
Oh, yeah, he had a stake.
Yeah.
So yeah. Charlotte na siya.
No. At the time, Washington lang meron.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And Charlotte was owned by a very incompetent racist guy. So.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on. Which one do you want to talk about first? Bray, Randy, or Goldberg, Brock?
Goldberg, Brock, para matapos na.
Alright.
So it's as fast as their squash.
Okay. No. There is some speculation that Goldberg can actually walk out as Universal Champion.
Why?
But why?
I don't know. But why? I heard
Did
this.
He sign a new deal?
No. Hindi pa alam. But it is in the conversation.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would we want any of this? If you're on Raw, if you're wrestling on Raw, yes, it gives you more casual eyes, but why would you want any of this to happen to your brand? Diba?
Crap, I forgot whose podcast. The ENC podcast.
Yeah. I was actually just listening to it on my way here.
Right. So they were talking to Goldberg about it, and ENC themselves were saying that if I was a guy on Raw, basically the same question you were asking, if I was a guy on Raw on the active roster, why would I be happy in a part-timer like Goldberg is getting such a spotlight?
And especially a part-timer that can't, you know, wrestle the way the young guys do.
Their argument, as ENC would put it, is if you have a part-timer like Goldberg, who's such a huge draw that pulls in all these mainstream eyes and these casual butts in the seats, they're going to come in to watch the show expecting to see Goldberg.
Yeah.
But if you see a guy like Edge, it's like, oh, puta, magaling pala siya. Maybe I can start following him. That's the net effect on
Yes, him. Yes. That's the Rock argument, actually, which is fine. It's totally fine. Ang problema ko lang with this is that they're supposed to be treated as
athletes.
No! As side features at this point. As special attractions. It's like they're not
freak shows.
No, not freak shows. They're just special attractions. Special guest stars. Like whenever Dr. Drake features on a track. Right?
Or basically what, you know, Pitbull, Flo Rida, and the gang are doing at Mania.
Yeah. Okay lang naman nandun sila, as long as they are staying in their own lane. Don't be part of the full-time club. Especially if you can't wrestle full-time. And when I say that, I mean that, you know, wrestling night in and night out on the highest level.
But isn't this also an argument against Brock Lesnar? Because you basically have two part-timers.
But he was booked that way, though.
Yes. It's not as though Brock is not doing live shows.
And it's also not as though Brock is terrible. He switched his style deliberately to reflect, what, his new attitude. Yiba? I mean, it's not like Brock is an exception to say he can go. He can still go.
If he really wanted to.
And we've proven and that before.
Yeah. If it calls for it, Brock can actually be the type of guy who does 30-minute matches. If it calls for it.
Yeah, just to add to that point, Camus, I think the polar opposites of that spectrum would be if you really wanted to, he can give you a match like Brock CM Punk.
Yes. And if you
didn't want to, you'd get last year's craptastic outing with Dean Ambrose.
But at least you know that he can go. And he's not hampered by age or physical health, right?
No, it's gone.
Shut up, Camus!
That's two.
Shut up. Stop counting and shut up. The point is, Brock is not hampered at all by whatever physical disability he has. Because he's not old, you know? He's not as old as Goldberg and Undertaker. At least Undertaker, they know what to do with him. They know that he is something to be trotted out every WrestleMania season. And even when he does, he's not going out there and challenging for any top championships. Even a mid-card championship. They know that he's there to make someone look special, at least, whether they win or lose. So Goldberg is breaking that rule by heavily featuring him in the championship scene.
Let me throw this argument out there then. Because the way that you made your argument, it sounds like you're attacking Goldberg. But is it Goldberg's fault that he's being booked this way?
Hindi naman, syempre. It sounds like I'm attacking Goldberg, but only because that is what we see. But he is out there and being a main eventer once again. But we obviously, the smarter of us would know that it's the WWE who wants it. It's Vince who wants it because he's the casual draw here. And to hear Goldberg tell it, he was just offered the deal. Now, oh, we'll give you this Universal Championship run if you stay. Right? So I don't blame him one bit. That's always, that's not part of the argument here. I'm just saying that I'm framing the argument as WWE and Vince McMahon making Goldberg stay in his own lane, stay in the Brock Lesnar lane without any championships. Let the current guy, the current crop of main eventers, young stars, compete for the biggest prize in the company.
The smart prediction is that Brock Lesnar wins, especially because we all know that Goldberg's set to leave. But I would still think that there is a small remote possibility that Goldberg walks out as champion. How feasible is this from happening?
I don't know. I've yet to see the rumors, the actual rumors that say so. But I still think Brock is going to win. There is no way, even for Brock Lesnar, for him to really lose three straight.
It's the three straight that's the big asterisk there. Brock has never gone that long against one guy without getting one back. And for him to get one back at WrestleMania, it's a foregone conclusion. If some remote reason Goldberg goes 3-0 against Lesnar, there will be hell to pay.
If he can beat Goldberg in three tries, especially learning from the last two, right?
The Royal Rumble.
That was part of the two.
Okay.
How easy it is for Brock Lesnar to be punked. What does that do for him? Now he makes himself look bad and makes everyone he beat look even worse.
Right, now I will leave it up to you guys to actually shit on Goldberg the moment he enters at Skinny Mike's. I expect the video.
We will.
Yeah, I expect the video. Alright, last up, let's round it up with Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship.
Does this go on last?
I don't think so. It probably does not.
Yeah, which is a travesty for sure, but I don't think it does. We've talked about how... No, we actually haven't talked about this, but I think we meant to. How WrestleMania is actually for the casuals.
Yep.
And not for us smart fans. But if you look at your two main events, at least for the two world titles, if those are your main event, co-main event, the Universal Championship is the casual draw.
Of course.
And the Wyatt Orton match is the smart main event. So, I can live with Wyatt Orton being the smart main event. I can live with it no matter where it is on the card. I think though the one non-negotiable is that Bray Wyatt has to retain.
Yes.
I think now for all of the job or all of the work rather that they've put into solidifying his character, making it evolve, making him look legit. If
adding
you make
all of these layers.
Yeah, yeah. If you make Wyatt lose at WrestleMania to Randy Orton, I think it undoes that.
Yeah, you said it yourself. Could not have said it better myself.
Yeah. So
Sayang, all of that.
That's the way to go about it.
And it's a nice arc. It's a nice arc for him, considering that if you go back all the way to the Undertaker loss that he had, ang ganda na he went this far around.
No, not even the Undertaker loss. The John Cena loss. That was his first Mania.
Yes, 30. That was the first Mania.
Yeah, that was Bray Wyatt's first
30,
Mania.
Yeah, no, 30. Yes,
in
right,
New Orleans.
That's right, in New Orleans.
So. We're done talking about the card, and I think we have to talk about this because we did plan to. Now, WrestleMania is ultimately a casual fan affair.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we have to remind you guys that at this point, I don't know when it started happening. Was it after 30? I don't know.
After?
No, I think it's been this way for a while.
Because like, Oh yeah, for Scissor Rock, right? Yeah.
No, actually, 2011 had Snooki. Fucking Snooki in a match.
No. At least Snooki was in a mid card, you know, in a special attraction match. Yeah, but
you can't start kasi.
But since the special attraction matches are part of what make it a casual deal.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
But
for Snooki, at least she wasn't, you know, she wasn't competing for the Divas Championship at the time.
So we're talking about the casual draws being such prominent positions.
Yes. So like The Rock, like Batista, okay. Even.
Okay. Yeah, then that would have to start 28.
Yeah.
Because 28-29 were the Rock John Cena shows.
Mm.
And those were pretty heavy with who else was on that? Maraming kaluhuhan.
Yeah, 28 was the Brian year, Brian Sheamus.
Yeah, that was a load of bullshit.
29 was the Shield's first Mania.
There was
Triple H Brock. That was that year.
Oh yeah, that was in
it. Yeah, Jericho Fandango. Fuck, I forget. Punk?
That was the year that Punk went out.
Yeah, no, that was Taker Punk.
Taker Punk.
That's 29. See, I forget who was in the world title picture that year.
Edge and
no. No, wala na si Edge noon, 29.
I had 27 for some of this.
Yeah. Fuck, who was in 29?
Dolph and no. Was it Dolph?
No, Dolph was after.
Del Rio and someone. Del Rio and Swagger.
Yes, Del Rio and Swagger.
Oh my god,
thank
that was
you.
Horrible.
Yeah. And then the WWE Championship picture was John Cena and The Rock.
Yes.
In 29.
But there was... You can't say that was the peak.
That was the beginning.
That was the beginning. When you started planning it a year in advance.
When The Rock was there just to bump up sales figures. Pretty much.
I guess the point we're trying to get at is the fact that we're at a point where wrestling is really trying its best to penetrate mainstream consciousness.
Penetrate.
And honestly, as a wrestling fan, that's something I want. And as someone who's been trying to get advertisers,
the problem
people who
is,
can bring in money to actually see that wrestling is a viable market, this is something I want. But it doesn't come with rainbows and butterflies.
No, the problem with that is that is definitely a noble goal to have for our sport. But they're going about it the wrong way by relying on these crutches of old stars from previous generations to carry the product to mainstream relevance instead of, you know, writing hot stories to build these new stars. Yeah. And kickstart another era of relevance like the Attitude Era.
Yeah, the problem here kasi is when the Austins and the Rocks took over, the main event scene was really theirs to own.
Hmm.
You didn't have the likes of Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, well, you know, because they were in WCW. But they weren't in the company to suck energy and the magnitude.
Yeah, it's not like you had Bob Backlund back in the main in the championship scene, diba?
Yeah.
You didn't need him back.
Take a look at your four biggest matches this year at WrestleMania. Seth Triple H, Roman Undertaker, Bray and Randy, and Brock and Goldberg. How many of those guys are from the current era? You only have Seth, Roman, and Bray Wyatt. That's three out of your eight top
possible
guys.
Yeah. Quote.
Yeah, that's three full-time young guys and five part-timers.
To me, it seems like Vince has given up on the fact that he can't write new stories. He can't build new stars and write new stories to support them.
Which is a shame, because if you saw the support for, say, a Sasha Banks over the last year, if they played their cards right at Mania last year, she could have been that next Rock, that next transcendental star.
Mm.
That's not an original idea. I first heard that from Rosenberg on Cheap Heat, but I believe it.
Because
I see there is something in Sasha that I don't see in, say, a Becky Lynch, even though Becky is the superior wrestler. Or something I don't see in Charlotte, even though she's got she is genetically superior. Right? That's something that they really dropped the ball on. But to the casual, to the smart fan, to someone who's listening to this podcast, who made it this far, and you're bitching about this year's WrestleMania not really being worth a damn, this is why SummerSlam exists. No, you know what?
It's true.
I know it's true.
It's true.
But I will do you one better. This is why NXT TakeOver exists.
That is why NXT exists.
Yeah.
It's not as hot right now, but still, it's miles and away a better product.
Yeah.
I mean, you can expect a better concise two-hour show. Two-hour show.
The fact that NXT was strip-mined in Triple H's words after the draft is a testament to the fact that they know how to build stars over there. Kahit paano.
They have staying power regardless of what happens.
Excuse me, I would like to correct you because Exhibit A, the Vaudevillains. Exhibit B, Bo Dallas. Exhibit C, Adam Rose. So,
but that was a result of main roster mishandling, though.
Yeah,
when they were called up, they were called up because they were ready and they had in the eyes of whoever's in charge of the main roster. I know. These guys were like at the top of the NXT class. So meaning NXT was successful in getting them over somehow.
You know who the true litmus test would be?
I know.
Elias fucking Samson.
When he goes.
Because you guys saw the rumors, right? Now, there was a tier system. And that Elias Samson was in the class that was pretty much ready for the main roster.
Oh, Abuser leaves NXT, pa siya.
Yeah. Oh. Which is what? This week. It's tomorrow.
Yes, it is tomorrow.
I cannot wait for Cassius Ohno versus Elias Samson to kick Elias Samson out of the go home show. Yeah.
So it really is. He really is an after Mania deal. Fuck. What if he is the NXT guy in the armbar?
Yeah. Florida, pa yun. So like people know him because it's Florida.
It's Florida. Well, that logic doesn't follow for Mania necessarily because of all of the other people that are coming in.
That is a good point.
There is that.
All right. Before we wrap up the podcast, are we gonna preview TakeOver?
Well, it's only like four matches or five.
Yeah, it's four matches. I can actually name them off the top of my head. Let's run through them really quickly. Rude Nakamura.
Rude, for sure.
Not Nakamura.
No, Rude not retains. Nakamura. Rude retains. Rude has to retain.
Okay.
And Shinsuke has to go up soon. Yep.
SmackDown after.
Please.
Asuka versus Ember Moon. I really want Asuka to retain
Ember Moon. Ember Moon, this is her moment.
They have been building this up for far too long, and even though we don't care, Ember Moon.
It has to happen.
Alright. Tag Team Championship, Triple Threat, DIY, Authors of Pain, and Revival.
Revival.
I think it's the Revival.
I think. Three time.
Feeling Authors of Pain, though.
Three time.
Are the Revival tweeners now? Like, are they officially tweeners at this point?
I think so, yes.
They are, because we love them so much.
Yeah.
They are so beloved by the crowd, and yet they are so heelish in their ways.
Yeah. And
possible face turn, though.
Aleister Black debuts against
Cien. So that's match
It's four. Aleister Black, for sure.
Of course.
Yeah. There might be a fifth match if it's going to be Sanity versus the Anti-Sanity.
Baha, it's possible.
Anti-sanity.
And I think Anti-Sanity wins.
No way.
Why not?
Four-person intergender
tag. Because it's an A. Sanity's still on the way up.
Yeah, but
you can't derail them right now.
But the story's also been built up for quite some time. Na, medyo nakapagod na.
Well, they just added
Ruby Riot.
Yeah, they win and they move on. See, Sanity.
More important question: Which is the more porn star name, Heidi Lovelace or Ruby Riot?
Heidi Lovelace.
Yeah.
All right. Crap. There was one more question I was going to bring up before NXT? Ending the podcast. No, it's not NXT related. Ah, there, got it. Who are the Raw after Mania call ups? Who are we looking at?
Elias Samson.
Clearly.
Okay. Let's just go call ups in general, regardless of.
Yeah.
So Nakamura's there.
Nakamura's there. I don't think they're pulling up Tai, although that would be nice.
They should, but they won't.
I don't think they should yet, because they need someone to play the Sami Zayn role down there.
That's true.
And that's Tai right now.
Yeah.
How about.
That's true. That's
how about the Revival?
No.
Not yet?
No.
No, because they're, at this point, there are only three tag teams on NXT.
Heavy Machinery, though.
Yeah.
Actually, that might be the next match.
They got on Heavy Machinery and Sanity. That's like five tag teams. So you pull out the Revival, you get four.
And you that's not them much of a
tag
press.
Team scene. TM61 is still down. You need more. half of the people in the half of the field in the last year's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic was
gone.
Hey, don't sleep on Ho Ho Lun and Bin Wang.
They were cruiserweights and single stars put together. That's half of the scene. So you need the revival there. No, that's why I know. That's why was kind of a debut in vaudevillains.
2013?
No, on the main roster.
Last year.
After the draft, no?
No, after Mania.
After Mania.
SmackDown after Mania.
Right. So that's why you could only get American Alpha.
Which they already did.
Asuka.
No, not Asuka. It's her and Ember Moon holding down the women's division.
And Nikki.
And Nikki, who's barely holding down the women's division. Oh, if you take out Asuka, that's her and Nikki. And her and Ember Moon.
Her Ember Moon.
That is not much.
I wouldn't count Billy Kay.
Yeah, exactly.
After
the two decent women wrestlers.
There's a huge gap.
Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, and Liv Morgan. You really gonna run with that?
No.
Exactly. And Aaliyah. And then what's MMA girl's name?
Daria Bernardo.
Yeah.
She's still signed.
Oh yeah.
But she's not like all that.
I know.
She's not the shape. You know.
I'm just saying. That's the guy. Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
See, who are those guys, ba? You need Asuka there.
Ruby Riott, ba.
Puchasha.
Yeah.
who is gonna get called up? Parang hirap i-predict this time.
Parang wala pa ata. It's really both roster. The NXT roster is way too shallow for a thorough mining, if you will. So I really only
mid-season call-ups na lang sila.
Yeah, probably. I would just really put my money in Elias Sampson and Nakamura.
And the remote possibility of the Hardys.
Yeah, sure.
Free agent signing.
Okay. I can live with that.
Yun lang.
All right. So that brings us to the end of our WrestleMania preview. We got plugs, by the way. We got some stuff going on. So let's start off with our Facebook Live session. Tonight,
if you're listening to this on Friday.
Yeah,
Thursday!
Jesus.
If we assume that you're listening to this on Thursday before 9 p.m., log on to Facebook and go to the Fox Sports PH Facebook page.
It's verified, by the way.
Yeah, with a blue check and everything.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, so we will be doing a Wrestling Gods FB live session.
It's pretty much as close as we can get to the original spirit of the Wrestling Gods.
No games, no bullshit. Well, some bullshit.
Yeah. For everybody who's given us crap about it not being a wrestling show for the smarks, all the fluff, this is it.
Manood kayo, puta.
We get one shot. Don't blow it.
We are not throwing away our shot.
Yes. We're not going to miss our chance to blow. Because this opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
You totally missed.
I got the Hamilton reference. I get it.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
No, he got it. I got both of it. Yeah.
So Facebook.com/FoxSportsPH at 9 p.m. tonight. It'll be the Wrestling Gods, and we'll talk WrestleMania for a solid hour. So send in your questions as we go along. We'll be predicting it. We'll probably be having much of the same discussions that we had tonight, except it's more interactive, when you send in your questions. So please do. That's one. Second, you've got the annual, and I think at this point we can really say
it's annual.
The annual WrestleMania viewing party. It's going to be at Skinny Mike's again.
Year three.
Viewing party year four, yes. But yung inorganized natin at Skinny Mike's, it's year three. So we're going to be there as early as 6 a.m. If you want to be there at 5 and get your seat early, by all means, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to be there anyway.
You're in Singapore.
Yeah, I'll be watching Coldplay.
Happy for you.
Thank you. So it's going to be as early as 6 a.m. There's a 300 peso entrance fee. And again, let me just say this. It's going to be at Skinny Mike's. Kasi marami pa rin yung nagtatanong, saan po yung venue? Magkano po yung entrance? And I'm like, puta na,
at least yung babas, ha? No, at least yung, I would like to say that I'm happy that the only question I got about the venue is where it is and how to get there. At least yun, alam nila kung saan. I mean, alam nila kung nasan, aling syudad yung Skinny Mike's.
Like the general vicinity.
Yeah, they just don't know how to get there. Which is totally fine. At least they read the thing.
Yeah, what really bugs me is when people don't read the thing and comment lang. So, yeah.
Which is a percentage of those people.
Yeah, so there's a 300 peso entrance fee. And the proceeds go to both PWR and SmartHenry.ph because it does take money. It does require money to keep putting up a site and to churn out this material, which we've been doing for like... We're going to be entering year three, good sir.
Yes.
So, season three.
Yeah. It does take money for that. So we would appreciate the help. And what else? What else is happening? Oh, of course, Revolution X, April 30, 2 p.m. at the Bayanihan Center. And... after Mania, we've got a slew of guests we'll be bringing along to Hype Revolution X. But more importantly, next week, we've got the Wrestling Gods in full force on the podcast. Not sure if we'll have comments on the podcast.
And you can record in Kubo.
We'll see. All right, so that's pretty much what's in store for the SGP podcast and for the Filipino wrestling community for the month of April. You know what? Fine, so we're not going to be called biased. There's a show happening on April 8th. It's NWF. And a bunch
of us will be there.
We will be there.
A bunch of us are actually planning to catch it. So
support.
Yeah.
Local wrestling. Save Filipino wrestling.
Yeah.
Save Filipino wrestling.
It is still a thing. Just because we were able to get try to move PWR out into the black, it doesn't mean that hashtag Save Filipino Wrestling has to end. So if you are part of MWF or are friends with people from MWF, do know that we are we're not closed off from supporting MWF. In fact, a bunch of us will be watching the show. And it'll be a fun reunion of sorts with MCS.
Yeah. Which hopefully has aircon at this point.
Tana mag-sanda tayo lahat.
Dala rin tayo ng cooler.
Yeah, our own coolers. Right, so we'll catch you.
Belated happy birthday, Ryan Sangalia.
Yeah.
Yeah, belated happy birthday, by the way. And belated happy birthday, Iverson. Right, so... So there, we just gave you our entire lineup of events from basically tonight until the end of April.
Can we do that every show, by the way? Can we just greet Iverson happy birthday every show?
Yeah, we can do that because we're talking about practice, man. Fucking practice.
Paalala natin sa sarili natin and we will be greeting Iverson a belated happy first birthday from now until his second birthday.
Shout out to every PWR fan who went to the photo booth and got themselves a photo at the expense
at Iverson's first birthday.
At the expense of Iverson's parents. You people know who you are.
It's only for a number, for a few hours.
So that's not only.
No, that's right. It's time bound.
Partial only.
Parin data cap ng Globe.
Fair usage policy.
So with that last Iverson birthday greeting, I think we can safely say that we are done with this episode of the SGP podcast. If you even managed to stay this long, thank you for subscribing, for continuing to rate, download, give us feedback, however you want to do it. And thank you for following us on Twitter at the SGP Podcast, at Roiswar, at Caveman Camus, and at _ Stan C.
And at the SGP Podcast.
I just said that.
That was the first thing?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
So on behalf of Indy the Dog, Ro, Camus, who still won't shut up, my name is Stan C, and we will see you at Facebook Live and at the WrestleMania viewing party on Monday.
No, you won't.
Well, they will.
He'll see the things on social media.
Glorious! No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.